So, hello everyone, my name is Laura Sly, and I'd like you to consider your beliefs around happiness, and who deserves it, and when. So what does your happiness contract say? There's a guy called Robert Holden, who's an expert on happiness, and he suggests we consider this. Essentially, what he's asking us to do is think about when it will be okay for us to be happy. What have you decided needs to happen first? Will it be when you've lost a bit of weight? Will it be when you've got a new job? Will it be when everyone else is happy? Will it be okay then? Or will it be okay when there's absolutely no suffering left in the world? Every corner is sorted. So questioning your happiness is key for people like you. Because if you want to make other people happy, you need to get familiar with your beliefs about it. And politicians and CEOs of charities don't often talk in terms of happiness and love, but they do talk about poverty, they do talk about sickness, they do talk about isolation, for example. But it's surely because we do have some grasp of how good happiness feels that we want it for more people. The irony for me, though, is that many of us haven't decided that it's okay for us to be happy yet. And I think that slows our progress. So what I'm suggesting is that the more we understand about how to feel happy, and the more we give ourselves permission to feel happy, the more energy we will find to help improve the lives of other people. So, there are lots of experts on happiness. It's a huge topic. But one of the fundamental areas where there's agreement is that it's our thoughts and our beliefs that determine our happiness, and that our particular external circumstances play a much smaller role than we often think they do. So in other words, it's less about how the world is and more about how we choose to see and interact with it that determines whether we're happy or not. So how does that help us, though? Well, it tells us that we need to become better at noticing our thoughts. Becoming objective observers of our thought processes is incredibly powerful, and you can go really deeply into all of that stuff, but I think that even at a basic level, it has a huge impact. So that can be, for example, noticing the thoughts this evening that you're having when you're loading the dishwasher, noticing the judgments you're making about other people, noticing the judgments you're making about yourself, and noticing that if you feel down, that maybe rather than saying, I am depressed, I am depression, almost, you might say, I'm having some really depressing thoughts at the moment. That detachment and that realisation that we're producing those thoughts and those feelings can be life-changing. So, unless you're experiencing profound mental health problems, I would suggest you can essentially choose to be happy. And you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until you've lost weight or got a new job or met your soulmate. And you don't have to wait for an end to suffering. You can decide to be happy and then see what happens. Now, in some ways, easier said than done, but like changing most habits, it is surprisingly easy to take a step in the right direction. For example, if you're planning to watch the news later tonight, do yourself a favour and just don't watch it. Once you become more aware of your thoughts, you'll naturally start to review your door policy. And letting the news in lets misery, despair, politics, fear and paranoia into your brain. And chances are you'll get a horrible feeling in the pit of your stomach and you'll feel deflated. I tried it last night after months of not watching it, and I can assure you I felt dodgy. It can be hard to let go of the belief that watching the news means you're a responsible adult who knows what's going on, and it sometimes feels like a duty as a grown-up citizen. But it is harder to go out and make positive changes in the world if you feel deflated and if you've got a stomachache. Better to feel happy, optimistic and energised. Another thing you can try this evening is feeling gratitude, otherwise known as counting your blessings. All you have to do is lie down and think of all the good things in your life that you're grateful for. So think of the big things, but think of the small things as well that you usually take for granted. So you've got food in the fridge, your legs managed to get you up the stairs to bed even though you're tired, things like that. This brings balance to your thoughts. You shift your focus to positive things. A great way to get to sleep, and if you do it every night for a week, the chances are you will feel happier. I'm going to finish now with a quote from the author and lecturer Esther Hicks. I think it sums up all I've said pretty nicely. You cannot get sick enough to help sick people get better. You cannot get poor enough to help poor people thrive. It is only in your thriving that you have anything to offer anyone. If you're wanting to be of an advantage to others, be as tapped in, tuned in, and turned on as you can possibly be.